good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Welcome. This is our Wednesday Bible study. Thank you so very much for being with us today. And you might be catching this broadcast on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So again, we thank you to our Bible study for today. Open your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke. St. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 all the way through verse number 37, verse 25 through 37. And our subject for today is meeting the needs of others. Amen. Meeting the needs of others. Think about it. In the midst of this global pandemic, the economy has been turned upside down, topsy-turvy. In our area here in Dallas-Fort Worth, we've got literally thousands of people being laid off. You got congressmen and women fighting with the White House fighting with them. They're messing with the money, and people are trying to have... listen, you're trying to pay your bills, you're trying to pay your car note, and you got this foolishness taking place where people are messing with you, messing with your money. We here at the Bethlehem Church have been blessed of God to serve over 1,200 individuals every month, groceries and otherwise. 1,200 individuals, nobody but God is able to do that. It's not us, it's the Lord. We were just having a report on yesterday. We had a deacons and trustee meeting. And it's amazing. We would not have imagined that we would have had the resources, financial resources, to continue to do what we're doing. But the more we give out, the more God sends back to us. So thank you for all that you're doing. So I want you to think about it, helping others who are in need or meeting the needs of others. God has called each and every one of us to this. When you get to Luke chapter 10, know that Jesus had just sent out the 70. He sent them out so that they could go and spread the gospel, but also that they could highlight who Jesus is and was, and highlight and help people to understand the importance of being saved, knowing, of course, through his word, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. I didn't say was. It is at a hand. So they went out, these 70, they went out and demonstrated through both word, this is what I love about the Lord, word and deed, of the power of the Almighty God. So now, in the midst of what commentators call Jesus's debriefing session, a young lawyer comes up, and Jesus again is going to help this lawyer with a parable. So we begin in verse number 25, and the scripture says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Amen. Now I want you to understand something. So when the scripture says tempted him, really what he's saying in the Greek is he was testing him. He had heard the preaching of Jesus. He knew all about the type of lessons that Christ had taught, Christ Jesus taught. He knew about the signs and wonders that were being performed. So the Bible says that this young man, this I call him young man, that this lawyer comes to him, and it indicates that when he speaks to Jesus, that he is listening to this, the teaching, and he calls Jesus master, or in other words, a rabbi. So it demonstrates that he did respect what Jesus said. But then he also, bless his heart, wanted to know, you know, what was his pathway to eternal life. So many of us are attempting, of course, to answer that question. We already know that when you are born again, that God gives you through Christ eternal security. Yes, we go to sleep down here, but praise be to God. When we close our eyes, we are in the very image of death. We really are dead. Amen. We're physically, but not spiritually. And that is important for us to understand. So when we have funerals here at the Bethlehem Church, one, we call them homegoings. And two, we have church service. We have church here. The choir sings. The preachers preach. We have church, because we believe that when a child of God goes home, that is definitely something to celebrate. So here you have this lawyer who stood up. He made himself to be recognized, came to Jesus, and verse 26 says, he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" This is the answer that Christ gives. Jesus Christ says to this young man, he says, and he gives him an immediate answer. He asks him, you know, his own question when you think about it. And given the fact, of course, that this young man, as a lawyer, y'all, underline that, he was a Jewish scholar. So there were some things that he already was supposed to know. But you need to understand this, and this might mess with somebody's theology or religion. Jesus had not been trained in the rabbinic schools. Amen. So you got to know that when the Holy Spirit of God is working with us, and that Spirit of God, that's Jesus Christ, when His Holy Spirit is at work in us, it blows people's mind the insight that the Lord gives us on circumstances and matters that take place in this world. Amen. So here you have this lawyer, of course, this young man, this scholar, trained scholar, coming to Jesus. Jesus, this man knows, was not, again, formally trained, but we know, of course, that Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is the Word. So here you have this young man who had been trained in a Jewish law, Jewish doctrine, coming to the one, amen, through whose inspiration wrote the law, but he didn't quite know that. So he comes to him and he asks him this question. And in 26, Jesus responds to him by saying, "Well, you already know what's in there. You tell me what's in the law." So, of course, verse number 27, the young man gives what is called the Decalogue, the great Shema, if you would, of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And he answers in verse 27, he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself." This young man knew what was taught to him at a very early age. He was taught, the Shema. He was taught the Shema at a very early age. As a matter of fact, if you read Deuteronomy 6 and 5 and Leviticus 19 and 18, these are truths that not only were they to learn, but they were to memorize, and they would wear these phylacteries on their head that would have these words written on a little scroll that was inside those little boxes that they would wear on their head. So Jesus knew that the young man knew that particular answer. But what I love about the Lord, he takes him deeper. And let me say this about our love for the Lord, our God. It is important that we know that we are called of God, called out of the world to love God with our, verse 27, our everything. We're to love God with our everything, our strength, our heart, our mind, our soul. We're to love God with everything. And we're to treat our neighbor in the same manner in which we want to be treated. I say to couples all the time, and again, this may bother somebody, but I say to young men and I say to young women, it's hard for you to love anybody if you don't love yourself. Amen. I'll say that again. Voice cracked a little bit. It's hard for you to love anybody if you do not love yourself. If you don't brush self teeth, if you don't comb self hair, if you don't clean self up, if you don't try to feed self right, if you don't love yourself, it's going to be hard for you to love another human being. Now, be careful about hooking up with somebody, y'all, who don't love themselves. And also be careful with hooking up with people who love themselves too much. Amen. If they're always primping and in the mirror, you know, sisters, bless your heart. If he's prettier than you are, you might want to double check that thing. But anyway, I meant everything that I just said. When you look at verse number 27, he's calling us to love God with our everything. This combination of loving the Lord, our God, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, this is known as the Great Commandment. I mean, it is what we are all called to do. Love that neighbor like you love yourself. Treat people like you want to be treated. And then in verse number 28, scripture says, and he said unto him, Jesus, thou hast answered right. So this do, and thou shalt live. Wait a minute. It appears as if the final word to the lawyer was commending him on, number one, knowing this word. Amen. But note what Jesus says in verse number 28, which is important for every one of us. It's not good enough to just memorize scripture. Amen. You know, I see people memorize scripture all day. They know scripture will cuss you out like a sailor. In verse number 28, he says, look at what Jesus says. He said, now you answered right. Then look in your Bible. There should be a colon there. You answered right. Then he says, this do and thou shalt live. What do you mean live? We're talking about eternal life. Jesus says, be a doer. Come here, James. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. The Lord calls us to practice what we preach and practice what we teach. You gave the right answer. Now live the life. We in church all the time. Are you living the life? You shouting on church songs, church music on the radio, but are you living the life? Amen. I want you to think about the kind of life that you are living on a daily basis and recognize this. And I say this all the time. People are going to read you before they read the Bible. I'll say it again. People will read you before they read the Bible. So in verse number 29, Jesus says, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Uh-oh. Amen. So Jesus was just about to let the brother off here at verse number 28. But the guy being really smart, wink, wink. You know, sometimes we can be so smart. We can be too smart for our own good. Well, amen. So the guy being so smart. Hello. Come on. So the guy being so smart says, okay, well, who is my neighbor? Now, in the Greek, the term neighbor means near dweller, all right? And not just the Greek, but also in the English vernacular. It means the person who is nearest you. Your near dweller. So when he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, it's important that, that you understand that there ought not be much ambiguity in who he is talking about when he says that. Now, in the context, from one Jew to the other, his neighbor was not necessarily a Gentile. Amen. No, the neighbor would be somebody of his own Jewish nationality, of his own religion. Watch Jesus. Jesus, if you would, pulls that out. He stretches our cultural context. He stretches amen, that word, and praise him. And in the coming of Christ, he made it more inclusive. So it wasn't just Jewish, but your neighbor is everybody. It's not just a black person. It's everybody. It's not just a white person. It's not just Latino, Latina, Latinx. No, it's not just that. It is not just an Asian. When he says neighbor, he widens that. And he's not just talking to this young man about Israelites. See, what this brother was noticing also was the fact that there were other people starting to be who were being drawn to Christ. People on the periphery were being drawn to Christ. We learned last week, you know, if you only are loving the people who love you back, that's not much effort at all. But remember last week, what he said to us was, love your enemy. Are you loving your enemy? As a matter of fact, he says, do good to your enemy. Wait a minute, preacher. These are the very people who's doing me wrong. No, but you must do good to your enemy. Notice what it says also in verse number 29. Him willing to justify himself. What he wanted to say to Jesus was, well, you know, I'm already doing this. You know, I'm in good shape. Watch this. But Jesus helps to move him along even further. In verse number 30, he says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Watch this. Jesus now shares with the young man a parable. Jesus teaches in parables so that he can make life lessons simple so that anybody can understand it. Let me tell you something about explaining the word of God. You don't have to be so philosophical, amen, and so deep, because some of us think that we're deep and we're really not, but so deep to where folks can't understand it. Now, break the word down so that people can understand it and they can live it for themselves, and then they will be able to share it with other individuals. Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves. Now, it's important that you understand that when we say that he went down from Jerusalem, Jerusalem was about 2,500 feet above sea level. Jerusalem was in a high place. So when you hear about people going up to Jerusalem to worship or going up to Mount Zion to worship, geographically, you are going up. Amen. You are in a upward trajectory when you're going up to Jerusalem. So here you have a traveler. The Bible says that this traveler was setting out from Jerusalem and going down through Jericho. And you need to know that when you go down through Jericho or go down from Jerusalem through Jericho, that it is a winding, twisting, rocky desert kind of a road. It was known as a place where people would rob. It was known as a region for criminal activity. It was known for that place. And note what the scripture says. Jesus says, this man fell among thieves and they took the man's clothes. They hurt the man and they left the man there for dead. They had mistreated this man. They took his garments. They left him for dead. And you know what? It's bad when evildoers will do you like that. Right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there was a man. He and his wife were walking their dog. They moved here from another state. I mean, they were in a supposedly a quiet place. But this was in the news just a couple of days ago while walking the dog. Guy pulls up in a black a truck and shoots the man multiple times, then tries to duct tape the man's wife and kidnap her. But she screamed and the man ran off. These people are minding their own business. It's a shame when you cannot live in peace. You know, one of the reasons why we built Pioneer Place by the grace of God across the street, and we said, and if it's anybody listening, you kind of know who I'm talking to. We said that we were not going to have anybody living over in Pioneer Place who was going to be afraid to walk outdoors, who was going to be afraid to sit out in the hallway. And we said that if you threaten anybody, if anybody is unsafe, that you won't be there long. If it's your relative, whoever it is, all y'all are leaving. It's important to note that I believe that people deserve to live in a safe environment. So Jesus highlights the fact that this man fell among thieves and they tried to kill him. Not only did they take everything, but they left him for dead. Well, look at God. Watch God. Verses 31 and 32. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, this is a problem. Because circle priests and circle Levite, these were holy people, holy men. These were individuals who had been taught right from wrong. These were people who had been taught. Now I can say the Decalogue. These are people who knew, amen. They knew the scriptures, the Torah, which we call the Old Testament. They knew that you were supposed to help a fellow man. Amen. You know, we need to be careful about being so holy to where we can't stoop down and help people out. Amen. Or get so busy to where we can't hit a pause and see about the needs of other individuals. God calls us up and God calls us out so that we can see about, check on each other. And what makes this so bad is that Jesus highlights priests and Levites, folks who are supposed to know right from wrong. Look what the scripture said, by chance. By chance, y'all know what happenstance is. By chance, you happen to be walking and you see something. I said on last week, when God allows things to happen in front of you, or you see things going on in front of you, you're no longer judging. You are an eyewitness. When God puts a matter or an issue or a problem or something that needs to be worked on, when you see that in front of you, in my mind, if you're a child of God, it means that God has commissioned and called you to attend to that particular thing. Amen. Amen. That's what he calls you to. He calls you to deal with that. And if you don't deal with it, that is the sin of omission. That's the sin of omission and the sin of commission. Commission, meaning you were called to do a certain thing. You didn't harm anybody, but you were given the assignment and you didn't do it. Omission means that you could have done something, but you didn't do it. Amen. So you omitted that. You acted like it was not there. Verse 31 and 32, sins of commission. And I would even say sins of commission and sins of omission. Lord have mercy. Amen. So then let's, if you would, let's give more time to the word of God. So looking again at verses 31 and 32, and I think it is important for each and every one of us to be made abreast of it. If God is giving you an opportunity to help somebody, by golly, you ought to lean in and you ought to try to help folk. Amen. Let's read some more verses 33, and let's look at verse number 34. 33 says, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Let's stop right there. Now, verse 31, 32, these were quote unquote so-called holy people. Amen. And these so-called holy folk did not attend to this man's matter. But then there's a Samaritan. Now know this, Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. And it was vice versa. But watch God. The scripture says that a certain Samaritan, this certain man, while he was on his journey, back up preaching, verse 31, 32, everybody had somewhere to go. Amen. So it's not like the Samaritan just moseyed along. Scripture says he was on a journey as well. But he came where the man was, saw the man's condition, and had compassion on him, felt sorry for him, had some love for the brother because he saw the man's situation. Let me help you right now. You ought not just help those who are, let me say it nicely. You ought not just help individuals because they're your kind. Don't miss me. Many of us have been blessed of God by people who we didn't know. People who were better off than we were economically. People who didn't have the same skin color that we have. We need to be careful about the way in which we treat people who we say are not our kind. Help me, Holy Ghost. That in itself is a bigoted statement. We need to understand that God will send angels. I said this 2 weeks ago. God will put people in your life and those people will help you. They will help you more than some of your own kinfolk will. Amen. Because of the spirit of compassion that was placed in them by God. There are people God will allow you to come in contact with who you don't know, but God will trigger something in you that will draw you to their condition. Maybe this man was like this because he had been robbed. Maybe this man was like this because maybe he had lost a loved one. Maybe this man is like this. Amen. Maybe this man is like this because of the circumstances or the situation that he found himself in before. Scripture says that he had compassion for this particular man. Y'all, let me help you understand something. We ought to all, as children of God, have compassion for our fellow human being. We don't care what they look like. We don't care where they come from. We ought to all have that kind of compassion. Verse number 34 says, and this Samaritan, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, hallelujah, and took care of him. This man was on his own journey, had his own donkey or horse, had his own, but what did he do? He wiped off the man's wound, he tended to the man, put, if you would, some medication, some oil and wine, that was their medication, put some medication on his wound, put him on his own beast, which means that he inconvenienced himself. He started walking while he put the man on his beast and carried him to an inn and took care of the man. Lord, thank you, Jesus. What he's saying is that if you are going to be a true child of God, you are going to allow yourself to be inconvenienced for the betterment of somebody else. See, in 2020, that sounds foreign to a whole lot of people. But see, my grandparents and my parents, I grew up with folk who sacrificed. Amen. They didn't buy a car because they knew that we needed some school clothes. They didn't go off and eating in fancy restaurants. Let me tell y'all something. I didn't go. When was the first time? You know, when I think about it, I don't remember going to a restaurant until I was almost 10 or 12 years old. I'm serious. Because the people I grew up with, we ain't had that kind of money. They cooked everything. Amen. When we went on trips, we'd have some bolo, bologna. Amen. Now bologna was better when it was burnt. Amen. We'd have bologna. We'd have summer sausage. I bet y'all don't know what that is. Some of y'all do. Summer sausage, cheddar cheese, and some crackers. Are you listening to me? Child, we'll eat that all the way. And then mama would have fried some chicken. And she covered up in some fall. So by the time you get it, it wasn't crisp, but it sure was good and soggy. But it was some good chicken because she seasoned that. We need to understand that God provides for us, not just physically and materially, but if you've got that kind of spirit of where you help people, you need to know that that ain't nobody but the Lord working on your behalf. Praise Him. Praise Him. Verse number 35 says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So the man gives a day's wages. The man makes sure that the guy is taken care of. He was still on the journey. Amen. But before he left, he made sure that this Jewish gentleman, had to be Jew, made sure that this man was taken care of. Isn't God all right? Jesus is answering the lawyer's question. He said, let me show you who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is not just a fellow Hebrew, not just a fellow Israelite, not just a fellow African American, not just a fellow Anglo American, not just a fellow Latino American. No, it's the person who needs you at that particular moment, at that particular time. If you're going to treat your neighbor as you treat yourself, when you get in trouble, hello, amen, you want somebody to come and look out for you and take care of you. I hate to keep saying this, But people keep asking, are you this? Are you that party? Are you this? Are you that? God calls us to take care of each other, no matter who you are or where you come from. Amen. Amen. Whatever more you spend, I'll repay. Which means that this Samaritan must have already had some kind of connection to the person at this inn. What are you saying? What we're saying is that when you're looking out for, when you're taking care of people, it is sure good to leverage your own relationships for the betterment of other individuals. It's a shame when we get these promotions. It's a shame when we get on these boards and these councils and we're just satisfied with being there. I believe that when God calls you up, when God calls you and places you in a particular position, He places you there so that you can bring other people along. Amen. I see that in this verse. Not only that, but then in verse number 36, scripture says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Again, go back up to the earlier verses. The young man thought he was trying to be slick, trying to be smart. He was trying to show how much scholarly knowledge he had. But Jesus says, now you tell me which one is the one who's really taking care of his neighbor. Verse number 37, and he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. In other words, you go and treat people right yourself. You go show mercy. Mercy is favor shown to an offender. What's the lesson? When we are meeting the needs of others, no matter who a person is, no matter where they come from, every person deserves to be treated right. Every person deserves to be treated with a certain amount of human decency. We all have been called to take care of one another. If we can remove ourselves from this narcissistic mentality to where we're saying it's just all about me, then we'll have a better country, a better community, and y'all know even in our families, you'll have a better family. May God bless you. May God keep you. Hear ye the words of the Most High God. Let us pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for being good to us, for being kind to us. Thank you, Lord God, for sharing with us again the parable of the Good Samaritan, helping us to know, God, that we need not get so busy, to where we cannot take care of each other. And God, I'm praying now that you will cover us, be in our heads and our hearts, and remind us that goodness starts in us. If your spirit dwells in us, then we ought to have other people's best interests at heart. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and say thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hope to see you next Wednesday. May God bless you. May God keep you, is our prayer.